Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all are listening to the Overseas Connection podcast.
Shut up and sit down.
Here we go.
Would you kindly? I think we're just getting started.
Medic!
I'm a witcher.
I think this is more than you can handle.
He sits on his ass all day.
Let's do this.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to episode 492 of your Overseas Connection podcast. Today is September 9th, 2018, also known as the Lord's Day because NFL is here. I'm one of your hosts, Greg DeLacy, Gamertag Murphy's Law, OC underscore Murphy's Law on Twitter. Just good old plain Murphy's Law on Xbox Live. And I think Murphy's Law 1969 on PSN. But that's for use on a different day. Hey, joining me this week, starting with the two cool kids on the block, we have Mr. Gary DeFelice sporting a lovely Broncos jersey. Gary, very nice color rush colors.
Really?
Come on, man. It's orange. We're in. It's Bronco Day. It's Sunday. It's one of the greatest days of the year. It's the first weekend we get football back this year. We will have football every Sunday from this moment until the Super Bowl in February. It's a glorious
boring.
Day.
It is a glorious day indeed.
It's actually, we've had like 90 degree temperatures or 100 plus for the last like 2 weeks. Humidity through the roof. Real feels of 110s. And today, just in time for football, it's 65. It's cloudy. A little bit of a rain. The windows are open for the first time since probably June. This is great.
Nice.
It's a wonderful day.
It is nice. It is nice to hear that the jailers there open up the jail cell windows for you guys. That is nice to know.
It's nice. The wind's blowing on my leg right now. It feels good. The only other thing I'd want on my leg. Ooh, wait, another podcast. Forget it.
Yeah. By the way, for those watching, we're trying to call it an orange jersey, but everybody knows when you go to prison, you wear orange. Gary's actual his inmate number is 5'8". So just so you know,
just in case you don't know, he's like probably the greatest defensive player in football right now, but that's okay.
Yes.
The interesting thing about that is
also joining the cool kids block. We have Mr. Robin Tate sporting a lovely Arizona Cardinals.
Yep. Yep. Go Cards. 2 years in the trot. Yeah, we're going to get there. Good evening, everybody. It's Robin Tate here in Ballymena in Northern Ireland. I am an NFL fan, and my game starts in 20 minutes. So, yeah, this is a special day, and I've enjoyed my NFL last year, even though my team didn't do that well. But I've got good feelings this year. We've paid $40 million for David Johnson again. It's fantastic. And we've got a whole new defensive line back, and it's brilliant. So we're going to go. Yeah, so the stats are looking good, and I can't wait for the first match of the season. And it's great to be podcasting about games, and it's great to be away from my mundane life and be in this fantasy world, which is my man cave, where I can pretend to be interesting and try to be nice. But I'm not nice because I'm still not vaping, and I'm still not over it, and I'm still on edge.
By the way, Robin. Congratulations on quitting of vaping.
Yeah, thank you.
It was a well done and smart move on your part. Okay, let's clean up the intros and take care of the rubbish. Last but certainly not least, Mr. I Don't Care About Football, Mark Wright, sporting the lovely tin cup cans. Mark, welcome to the show.
Hello, thank you very much. Yes, I hope that's enough. Of this football malarkey.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about football mostly on the podcast. We're going to talk about video games. We're going to talk about life. That's what we do. Mark, you are sporting not really the Panther blue, but my understanding is you did adopt the Carolina Panthers.
Yeah, because I like the logo. But I never watched a single game. I don't know who plays for them. I don't know. I even forgot what state they were for a minute ago. But yeah, I don't realize.
Do you remember what state they are?
Yeah, I don't know if it's north or south, but I know it's Carolina. Or is it both of them?
Carolina.
Double checking. Right. I did just say it, so I want to make sure you're paying attention. Yeah.
Actually, I'm next podcast, Mark. You should come dressed as Cam Newton.
Yeah, Cam Newton. That's the name you want to remember. That's your quarterback. That's the most important guy on your team.
Right.
Look up a Cam Newton press conference. That's how I want you to wear for the next podcast.
Yes. You need to wear one of those hats too.
Yep. Dude, yep. Yes.
Boy,
yes.
You'd look dapper. Just saying.
Oh, boy.
I use that word lightly. Dapper.
All right.
Well, enough of that. Apparently, Mark is really fed up with us. He doesn't want to talk about football anymore.
I'm not the only one. Teflon in the chat saying yawn football. I'm not the only one.
Expand your horizons, people. Come on. Expand your horizons.
Oh, it's changed his tune now. Think worldly. It says Raiders or go home.
Oh, fuck. All right. Is that
Indiana Jones?
Video games. Here we go. By the way, if you are listening to this and you haven't turned it off yet, thank you. You can catch us every week on twitch.tv/OC podcast, on mixer.com/OC podcast, and on youtube.com/OverseasConnectionPodcast. We broadcast on all of these places live every Sunday, 9 p.m. in the UK, 1 p.m. on the West Coast. And for the East Coast, 4 p.m. And if you're on Easter Island, it's a different time.
What the hell is that Easter Island shit all about?
It's not even in there anymore. Dude. I just threw it in there. Yeah. And let's see. We've got some birthdays. Let's talk about some birthdays.
Birthdays.
Yeah. Jason Powell sporting a birthday today. I think he's turning 96 today. Step J celebrating his 10th birthday. Darren Baldock. Baldock?
No. Step J isn't 10. His birthday's on the 10th, which is tomorrow.
No, he's 10.
He's 14. 10.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah.
There you go. Anyway, Darren Baldock also celebrating his 56th birthday. Congratulations, Darren. And the midlife gamer Uncle Fiesta.
Fiesta. My God.
Fiesta.
Oh, fucking.
Like Fiesta.
Uncle Fiesta. Stick the fist somewhere where
Adam
the sun
family, Uncle Fiesta. Uncle Fiesta. It's a bit of a twist on that. It's just because he's a bit of a pawn.
Anyway, he's celebrating his 11th birthday on the 11th.
Hey, chef along.
Yep, chef along. How's that gum, Robin?
Oh, it's working.
All right. Anyway, so for your birthday, Mark is going to play you a lovely birthday song right about now. Can I just say something real fast? Yeah. I'm very excited that the podcast is actually working in all of its functionality. We've got video. We've got live pictures of us. We've got sound effects that actually come in on time. I don't know who the asshole was that was doing the sound effects like 2 weeks back and doing the podcast stream, but that dick needs to be fired. Hmm. That son of a bitch couldn't do jack shit. Mark, thank you for coming back. It's you're definitely welcome back.
You're welcome.
All right.
You're welcome.
Mark, can we do story time now?
Yeah.
Everyone here loves story time, our favorite time of the day. When we gather around his great big chair and
Greg DeLacy
comes to stay.
Welcome to story time. I'm going to start story time off. I had a fantastic week. Work-wise, everything was great. Life-wise, I got back into bowling, so that was exciting. League started back up. Yep. We'll be talking bowling and football, Mark. How exciting is that? But
sounds like a lot of balls to me.
I do like to play with a lot of different kinds of balls. You can quote me on that. Last Monday, I had the privilege of meeting Miss Tara Chin, as well as some other daft young man that was with her, Mike Chin. Met them down in San Francisco, which kind of it seems like that's the spot, Robin.
Yeah, it seems to be, isn't it?
You started a trend. You did.
Isn't that why it's such a shithole, reportedly, these days?
Pretty much. It
I've been there.
It is a shithole.
Podcast royalty now has been there completely, and it's gone to shit.
I'm telling you. We got into San Francisco. San Francisco, it's so here's the deal with San Francisco. I'm just gonna lay it out honest.
It smells of urine.
It is beautiful to look at. Like, yeah. When you see it from afar, San Francisco is gorgeous. And there are some fantastic restaurants in San Francisco. However, there are a shit ton of homeless, lowlife, dregs of the world that also live in San Francisco. And if you're from San Francisco, I'm sorry. San Francisco is a shithole. I would not want to live there. I really don't like visiting there, but I know it's a popular destination, so I don't mind coming and visit friends when they go there. But if you say, hey, Greg, do you want to go to San Francisco? My first response to you is no. No, I do not. I would almost rather go to Oakland than San Francisco. And that should tell you something. Oakland, actually, I think is a nicer city to visit than San Francisco.
I was always under the impression San Francisco was really nice and it's very expensive to live there. By the way,
one of those two things is true.
Yeah, it is, Mark. I mean, it is beautiful around the fringes. The city center is a bit shitty because of all the vagrants, and it does smell of pee. I mean, we were in a very nice hotel in the center of San Francisco, and you could look out your window just straight across the road at loads of cardboard box people lying in the street, straight outside, you know, in the city center. And I suppose that's the same with big cities everywhere, but it is an open, what is it, an open city? They just let all those
border,
people come in?
Open border, sanctuary city.
So yeah. they need to clean that up because it's getting a bad rep. Because it is very pretty.
It's not getting a bad rep. It deserves that bad rep. Mm. I just want to just throw that out there.
Put it this way, Judith enjoyed L.A. more than San Francisco.
I can understand that.
Most of it was because of you, but apart from that, we had a great time in Alcatraz, and we had a nice couple of days, and over the Golden Gate and stuff like that there. But the city center was disappointing.
I'm not.
But anyway, I digress. Yeah. So you got to meet Mike for the first time. That must have been fantastic. What you expected?
Yeah, he is.
He's a very tall, funny, genuinely lovely guy.
Tara was not feeling quite herself, so you know we ended up shifting our plans. Originally, we were going to go to Golden Gate Park, and we were going to hang out at Golden Gate Park for the day. But weather was not cooperating with us. San Francisco is notorious for a city that can get very cold, even though the rest of California is warm. You can run into fog banks rolling into San Francisco, and it happened to us this day. It was overcast. It never really quite got sunny, and Tara was in a sundress, so it just wasn't prudent to go cruise around the park. Instead, we took them out across the Golden Gate Bridge. We drove up into Sausalito, which is just north of north of San Francisco. That's where Giant Bomb originally got their start. That's where they used to have their offices, by the way. And then we had lunch up there, and then that was actually comical. We were trying to find some restaurants in downtown Sausalito, but we parked closer to the harbor than we did to downtown Sausalito. So there was like three restaurants near us. That was it. Had lunch. Then we went up to – there was a vista view for Golden Gate Bridge, and the drive kind of goes all the way up the coastal area towards Marin Headlands. So, again, you may or may not know these locales. That's fine.
Yeah.
But we were able to overlook the Golden Gate Bridge, and that was gorgeous because the fog was just rolling in. You had this layer of fog kind of hiding a little bit of the bridge, but then it was sticking out through it. It just looked fantastic. Mike got some great shots of it. And then we came back, and we ended up having some coffee and hanging out and just chatting some more and just had just a really nice, wonderful day. So
yeah, good. Well, yeah, nice couple, podcast royalty, and Tahara is lovely and beautiful as well all at the same time. So what the hell is she doing with Mike Chin? I don't know.
I don't know.
Oh, that's great. I'm glad you've met, and glad you had a nice time.
Batting above his weight and average, for sure.
Mm. Well, that's class. That's brilliant. I'm so chuffed because it's nice. It's been a good couple of years for meetups all around. So
absolutely. Really has been absolutely. Mm. So my next goal is I'm crossing my fingers. I can work it out, but I'm thinking we're going to try and do something for next year coming out your way.
Oh, cool. Mexico.
Exactly.
Norway.
Tijuana. next July. And so feel free to come visit me at the border.
Excellent. I shall do that. Just 5 minutes walk.
Yeah, 5 minutes walk. Totally. I get that. I guess it's in your backyard, Robin. I've seen it. I've seen it before. All right. Let's see who else has a story to talk about. Mark.
Yes.
What's the Meg? Talk to me about the Meg.
The Meg. So I've been away this week, 5 days, Monday to Friday. And on the Tuesday, we went to see the Meg, which is the Jason Statham Big Shark movie.
Oh, shit. You paid money to see this.
Well, it was... we've got a thing over here. We've got a thing over here called... You're going to love this. Called Meerkat Movies. Because I got my car insurance through a certain website. I get buy one, get one free cinema tickets on a Tuesday or Wednesday. So it was all right. It was predictable. It was a good laugh. It was a definite popcorn movie.
Okay.
Your usual cheesy one lines and everything, but yeah, it was all right.
Any nods to Jaws?
A couple of little ones, not really obvious.
Any nods to Jurassic Park?
No.
All right.
No.
I mean, the Megalodon is supposed to be like the shark from the Dinosaur Time.
Oh, yeah. And they explain why it hasn't been seen before and everything, but there's a reason for it.
Is it a good reason? Like, did Godzilla knock it out of its cave?
It was babysitting.
Yeah. Apparently, it was a layer of cold. So, because it was cold, it wouldn't go through it.
Sharky doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. Sorry.
Yeah.
I missed out there, haven't I?
Yeah, I know. I did it.
I get dumb. Don't get him started.
So yeah, that's the highlight of my week.
Mark, how was your vacation time though? I mean,
it was good. Yeah,
you did go away.
Yeah, I went to a little village called Saltfleet on the northeast Lincolnshire coast. Stayed in a nice little caravan on this nice site. Nothing much there to do. There's a couple of pubs in the local village, but we just went mainly so each day we just go on a different nature trail and walk the dogs and everything. There's a lot of seals on the beach in this area, but the beach is miles out because there's a lot of wildlife marshlands on the sand dunes and beaches and everything. So,
okay. All right.
Yeah, it was nice.
You salvaged this description, by the way. There's nothing better than hearing somebody going on vacation to a quiet little place where there's nothing to do.
Yeah.
By the way, you did survive with basically no internet.
Oh, geez. Yeah, that was the biggest thing. There was no signal at all. It was a nightmare.
Achievement unlocked.
Embrace it. Embrace that.
Oh, it was awful. Yeah.
Be so quiet. You had to talk to your wife and stuff.
Yeah. We went. Oh, she didn't go. She didn't go. she ended up staying at home. So we went down to one of the sort of like bigger resorts on one of the days.
You were there 2 days and you realised.
And I got a signal. So yeah, I had signal there, so that was ace. So I could catch up on you guys. And that. At the site we was on was nothing. Nothing.
Okay.
That's good.
It is good. I think it is a relief sometimes. I think, funnier in my ears now.
I had to watch terrestrial TV for the first time in months.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my gosh. Mm. All right, Mark, anything else to report from this before we move on?
No, not really, no. Not too exciting. Back at work tomorrow. I'm dreading that.
Back at work tomorrow?
Yeah.
All right. Gary. Mr. DeFelice.
Click off the mute button. Sorry. It's loud in my house. It's football on. There's a lot of shit going on around here.
You got shit going on. Football started. Anything else you want to talk about before you talk about football?
You know, let's talk about... I'll catch up. It's been a busy few weeks. That's why I haven't been on the show. I went away with the wife for a couple days, down to Cape May, New Jersey. That was nice. No kids. And this week was cool. We had the rare doubleheader. So my oldest boys, I have an 11th grader who plays football, 10th grader who plays soccer, or... Right. Maybe you guys would like to say football. And we had a doubleheader. We had a 4 o'clock soccer game Friday night and then a 6 o'clock football game Friday night.
Real quickly, for clarity's sake, I think we should make a podcast rule moving forward You know, obviously NFL football will continue to call football, but soccer football we will call footy.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah,
I'll try my best.
Play some footy.
Okay. Right. What? Yes, I'll have some spotted dick with our footy. Yes.
Yep. There you go. All right.
Dean Crumpets. Don't forget the Dean Crumpets.
Dean Crumpets and footy. Yeah, so the younger guy, well, it's my middle son. My youngest plays soccer, but footy as well.
There you go.
She's not in high school. She's in middle school right now, so she's not playing for the school yet. But the boys' footy team won, convincing 4-1 win, and my son played the whole game as a junior, which is really cool. He played again on Saturday, played the whole game. So it's a pretty cool moment for Papa to see his boy out there dominating and just wrecking kids on the back line. He is a tackling machine. He just takes kids down left and right and usually doesn't get a
fall. Wrecking kids on the back line.
He's awesome.
Yeah, that sounds like you could go down for a few years for that sort of thing.
He's a savage and you can make fun of him.
I follow you though, Gary. That is awesome to hear. I love it.
And then the older guy is starting as a junior on varsity football. And he played the whole game on Friday night. They had a nice 14-0 win. A little bit slow on offense, but he's starting safety, starting wide receiver. So that was really cool. They do announcements there. So every time you made a tackle, like Nick DeFelice on a tackle, it's pretty neat. It's been a long run. Wait.
They said DeFelice. You didn't tell them they were supposed to say DeFelice.
And I did not. Actually, you know, it's funny. One of his teachers was doing the announcing from when he was a freshman.
Okay.
So he knows him. But yeah, it was really cool. It's fun. It's neat. I just coached my son in football when he was 4 years old, 5 years old. And to come all this way now with 2 years left, it's weird. It's coming to an end.
Yeah. My eldest lad starts university in a week or so now. And that's scary potatoes. I mean, weird, he was away. He was away this weekend at a video production conference that he sorted out himself, the whole pile of YouTube guys and content creators, and a 2-day workshop that he sorted, paid for, traveled to. And, you know, this is him going out there and, and being creative. And it's frightening. And university now, all video production stuff. And he's getting so big. He told me off the other week.
So did you just shut up?
But I'm not sure.
I got this, Dad. I got this.
Pretty much. Yeah. Stop it. Yeah, you're being unreasonable.
A similar kind of story. My nephew, who, you know, I have been his uncle since he was basically born. I guess that makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? Anyway, I have seen this kid in diapers. And this Wednesday, I get to go see him emceeing a comedy show at the Punchline in Sacramento.
Wow.
So it's a big deal. Yeah. He's grown so incredibly much as a person. It's crazy when you're stopping and seeing this. Obviously, exciting for you guys with your kids. But I have kind of similar feelings, at least with my nephew right now, seeing just I still remember holding him up as a baby, him pissing into the wind at the beach because I couldn't find a place to change his diaper properly. And now I'm going to go watch him standing up open mic at, you know, at a Punchline comedy show.
It's kind of surreal, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, I will tell you, watching him play high school football, it's a lot more stressful than it was when they were little because these kids are men. Mm-hmm. You know, they're 220-pound kids on the line that want to wreck him if he catches the ball. And it's a little scary, but we get through. And then my little baby played this weekend, too. She's got footy. She is she should be U-12, but we moved the team up to U-13. They're a really good little team. One of the best on the island, believe it or not. So we're playing them up in age group, and we played a 0-0 tie this weekend. It was really – actually, they dominated the game. We're a little small still. We don't have that strength. We're playing on the full size soccer field, footy field.
Right. I'm going to train you.
So it's a big adjustment. They're little. They've never had the ball before because in America they took heading away from kids until they get to U12. So they didn't get a chance to do it at U12 because we didn't do U12. And on the big field, they just don't have the feet really to drill a shot, you know, outside the 18 yet. But they dominated, and it was great. I'll take a 0-0 tie.
Yeah.
That's my life.
Record. When I was a lad playing footy, Heading for me was basically getting the ball kicked into my face. That was how I headed the ball.
And just to correct you, Gary, it's not 0-0, it's 0-0.
0-0.
Yes. I think I said both. Didn't I?
Yeah.
You still said 0, by the way, so you failed.
Good, a good American football movie to watch that kind of relates to, well, not, I shouldn't say to your son, Gary, but relates to youth, troubled youth, but it's called Gridiron Gang. Stars Dwayne Johnson. It's a true story. So I highly recommend checking it out. It's basically about a correction facility for youth, a detention facility.
Yeah,
for youth. They form a football team, and Dwayne Johnson kind of coaches the team, and it's all about these kids kind of breaking the bonds that they had with their gangs and becoming a team. It's really good. I remember hearing about that.
You remember the movie Victory?
Yes.
Pele was in that, and was it Stallone?
Yeah. Stallone?
Gotta watch The Longest Yard this week. With Burt Reynolds, of course. So,
This doesn't have quite
Burt Reynolds.
Anyway,
I'm going to show my kids Cannonball Run this weekend. I just don't know if I'll get a chance.
That's good. Yeah. I watched Smokey and the Bandit. I bought the Best Little Whore House in Texas to watch. And it's funny, just a couple of weeks ago there, I bought his autobiography on Audible to listen to, and there he's flipping, popped his clogs, and he narrates it, which is kind of cool.
Oh, wow.
He bought it just in time, and it'll be cost more now, what if, now he's dead.
And the other one that I always remember, and I'm trying to get a copy of it now, is Stoker Ace.
Stoker Ace,
He said it like a stuntman guy. That's... poor Albert Reynolds. I modeled my life on him. Yeah. This week for me, God damn it, Greg, work. Friggin' hell, work and school. The kids all back to school, so we're up early doors in the morning now, and everyone was just tired this week. Back straight from holidays and just flat out into it. And I tell you what, it's not like me, but I just didn't have my mojo this week. Now, you know I'm a chipper sort of guy, but I've dragged myself through this week, and I maybe it's just tiredness. But
that happens.
Know.
It does happen.
From
a gaming perspective, I actually found, you know, I think Mark, you were suffering through a little bit of this as well. Gary, even, I think you talked about this earlier in the summer, but just not feeling like nothing was exciting you game wise. You know, it was kind of struggling a little bit to figure out what you wanted to play. So I had a little bit of that. Not the same, mind you. I get that. Work can kick your ass. You do a lot of driving, if I recall, Robin. So
yeah, funny, this week I spent 2 days sitting here, funny enough, doing a 3D model for a client's new business, which my CAD guys were flat out with other projects, and we needed a 3D model, so I ended up spending 2 days doing a 3D model of a freaking coffee stand. Now, this thing is 3.5 meters long with 3 machines and a whole pile of other bits and pieces, but it had to be designed to the millimeter to go into production, to be built and delivered by the 25th of this month. And I went like through 8 variants and, but anyway, it's
crazy. Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
It took you 2 days to do this. Is this something likely your CAD guys probably could have done in like half hour?
Nah, this is 3D. This is 3D model and stuff. No.
All right.
I am the king. Okay, but so back from holidays.
I am the king. I heard that.
I am the king. I am. Thank you very much. Well, speaking of the king, working on already plans for next year. Now, it might fall into the year after, but we're already talking about next year. And it looks like I want to go and see Gracelands on the home of the king.
Good call. You're going to stay at the Gaylord, right?
Yeah, well, do you know what? I'm starting to research hotels, and it looks friggin' awesome.
I've been there in Memphis.
It just looks absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
It's an unfortunate name.
Yes.
You know, that is the Gaylord family.
Right. Gaylord Fokker. Gaylord Fokker.
Seriously. and he never got beat up at school. Mm-mm. But Mark, this hotel is like, it's like outside, inside. So this big, beautiful building, but all completely covered with 9 acres of garden, completely covered.
Robin, I'm just
is that the Gaylord Texan?
No, it's the Gaylord. Memphis Gaylord, I think.
Oh no, I've got it here now. Hold on, sorry.
Anyway, yeah. Robin, what I'll tell you right now is stay there. Don't just get past the name. That hotel is phenomenal.
Gaylord Opryland, Opryland.
Yeah. Found it.
Everything is like right there. You walk out of the Gaylord, you're going to cut to your left, and you'll be able to get to the Opry House. You're going to be able to get to
a bunch of shops. I hear Memphis is a bit of a shithole. So, you know, go and see Graceland, maybe that. But then I want to go up to Tennessee to Dollywood. I want to do Dollywood.
Dollywood, Nashville, because you're in Tennessee for the
rest. Yeah. Yeah, Nashville. Sorry, I want to go up to Dollywood and Smoky Mountains and all around there, and I think we're going to have a great old time.
Hold on one second, Robin. Gary, wake up.
It's late here.
I know, but you're like yawning like right at the camera.
God,
like,
yeah. Speaking of Gaylord, man, and they're just today, I was kicking about and I watched Deadpool 2. That's interesting.
Oh, I love that.
Did you not like it, Robin?
I did, but I'd recently, over the last few days, sort of on and off, watched the first one again. And it suffers from lack of originality from the first one. Yes, I loved all the in jokes and the sarcasm was there. The payoff at the very, very end, I hate that. I hate that. how you go and fix things with that device is, it's cheap.
But some of those end credit things, they were funny. Like the David Beckham stuff and that.
No, it's all very, very good. Yeah. No, and it's great. It's good fun. I enjoyed that little team. I liked the way the first team all got slaughtered after they jumped out of the helicopter. It was absolutely brilliant. Yeah. So, it's good. It's a good romp.
I haven't seen it yet. It's on my to-do list.
Me neither. It's on the list.
And I've got an awesome sound clip from that.
It's hard to hear you with that pity dick in your mouth.
Oh, she's a brilliant character. The old blind lady in the apartment. So it's been an unbelievably busy week. I have a sales meeting in the morning, early doors, and I have stuff to do tonight when we finish here. Just because you lose a day with a sales meeting, so I'd get up, scrape it on, drive 100 odd miles, do the sales meeting, and or be talked to for most of the day. To me. Tell us what. So, that's it.
Hey, by the way, if you want a movie that's going to give you some of the comedy of Deadpool, I should say the Ryan Reynolds comedy, if you haven't seen Hitman's Bodyguard.
Yes, that's good, Phil. That's a good film.
With Sam Jackson. Zeller,
big guy. Yeah, Sam Jackson. That's good. I thought you were going to say The Proposal with Sandra Bullock.
I was this close to saying that.
Right, I've got to go and stick my thing in the thing, so I'll be
stick
back
your
in
thing
a
in the thing. We're gonna move on and talk about some games.
Bollocks, hang on, wrong screen.
Yeah.
Today I feel like playing computer games. Today I feel like playing computer games.
I was chatting to Sarah.
Robin's had it.
He's gone. He's had enough. Too much football shit talk.
Easy, Mark. Easy. Come on, man.
Mark.
My son keeps running down here, giving me updates on the Charger Chiefs game, and I'm hitting mute. I'm like,
tell him just to shut up and walk away.
I can tell you what, though. Cleveland and Pittsburgh are in overtime.
Wow. All right.
So if you're not listening to this but watching us on YouTube, the reason my head is sideways a lot is because
TV's right there.
Watching the TV to the left. Yeah. I tried to put it on the computer, but they don't stream Red Zone. So I apologize. I'm not looking, but still love
you. That's okay. I'd rather take you looking sideways than yawning into the camera. Just saying.
I'll yawn left.
All right. Talking games. We've already kind of covered the games with gold, the PlayStation Plus stuff that's coming up. So I don't think we need to rehash that. We are trying to figure out something better to do with the community in mind. I don't think we're there yet, but we're putting our collective minds to it. At some point, we will figure out a way for us to have a little bit better interaction on these games. But until then, just make sure you're picking up your freebies. They're free with your subscriptions. You might as well pick them up put them on your hard drive or don't, but just at least make the purchase option. So this way you have them there. If you ever get a bug up your butt to play it, you can. Now, let's talk about what we've been playing. I think that's the bigger thing. And I'm going to save Robin and Mark for last to talk about Spider-Man, because I think that's the big game to talk about. Mm-hmm. So we'll talk about that last. First, we can get away with the boring stuff. Gary, you played Destiny 2.
Stop. I'm just convinced I will always be a Destiny fan. I love it. Destiny 2, we played the new Forsaken DLC came out.
That's just come out this week.
Tuesday.
Yeah.
It's really good. I was a little turned off because they charge basically like a new game, like $60. So I was pretty pissed.
What?
Yeah.
Wow. And it's not in the season pass.
Well, it's with the new season pass.
All right. Is it like what we did with Taken King? Yeah.
Taken King, so it's got the new DLC, and then the next season pass for, I guess, whatever the next DLCs that they release over the next 2 years. But, you know, I play the game, so I said, F it, I'll buy it, I'm going to play it, that's for sure. If I'm going to spend money on something, I'll spend it on something I like. Like, I did buy Monster Hunter, and I played it for an hour, maybe, and never picked it up again. Mm-hmm. I know Destiny will play, but right before that, we reran the raid, the Levy raid. We ran it on Prestige. We did it Sunday night right before the DLC. It was hard. I was up really late for me. I was yawning a lot.
Right.
we started around 7. I think we finished around 1 a.m. But I was glad I did it. And the new DLC, from what I've played through the Cade dies. Not a spoiler. I think everybody knows that at this point.
What?
What?
Yes.
Fuck, you ruined it for me, Gary.
And you in the DLC are hunting down everybody to get to the guy that killed him. It's been really good. I haven't finished the story yet, but it's strong. It came out with a new online multiplayer. It's a PvE first, and then goes to PvP called Gambit. It's really good.
Gary,
I see Robin sticking his finger up.
Yeah. Sarah is asking in the chat, what is the deal with raids? She hasn't came across anything called a raid yet. So
a
maybe
raid?
Too early for,
it's the end game. Usually it's a pretty epic adventure. So I know in the original Destiny, I think there were three or four raids. The first one was Vault of Glass. And then every year they came out with a new raid. The original game for Destiny 2 had Leviathan, whatever the fuck
Leviathan.
It's called. I call it Levy.
Leviathan.
Leatherthong?
Yep. Leatherthong.
Leatherthong.
That was the main raid. And then they had a couple of mini raids that fed off of that I never ran.
G-strings?
What's that? You say sorry, G-strings?
I couldn't help it.
I know what you said. So the raid is kind of like the end game. It's a nice epic adventure. A lot of teamwork, usually. It's a little puzzly sometimes. Like, we were playing with Duke of Dork, Sean, if you guys know him. I know Mark does. We used to play a few of the PC games together and Xbox. He didn't like the Levy raid just because it got too puzzly in the gauntlet. You remember that, Mark? We did that together, I think, on the Xbox, right?
Yeah.
He was doing that with us, because I'm playing it on the PC now. And he felt like he was holding us back, which you can do. Or at least feel bad. But the guys that we play with were very cool. They were not giving him a hard time, but he backed out.
Well, so here's a question. And this is one of the things I actually have an issue with story modes that involve co-op. Because typically speaking, the co-op play involves, you know, kind of getting to a certain point. You'll uncover some cutscenes, maybe. You'll also maybe uncover some story elements that either, you know, you kind of have to listen to. Or maybe read a codex or something. You know, I mean, that's kind of the makeup of all of these games, right? When they have story co-op. The problem is, inevitably, as you're playing in this group, even if they're good friends of yours, and it's no slight on friends, but inevitably you've got somebody who maybe has already done it. They tried it once already. And they are just kind of jamming through everything. They're bounding ahead of you. And so the experience really... it just isn't as good as it could be, because half the time you're kind of getting dragged along by somebody else who's played it already or is triggering things ahead of you so you don't have to trigger it because they know exactly where to go.
Well, so I assume you're referring to a story mode because the raid's not really a story mode.
Okay.
So the story modes, and I've done like the new DLC, I've done it all solo. I've not done it with anybody else. I wanted to go through it, watch the cutscenes and such. The raid, like you can't run off without people. You have to play together.
Everybody has a role. I get that. But also probably within the raid scenario, I'm just going to gander a guess. You could come into a situation of like you come into a clearing and suddenly somebody in the party's like, oh, okay, they're going to come in from the left side. They start on the left side. The ships come in from the left side. Get ready.
Well, actually, I personally want people that have done it. So I've never run a raid without people that have done it. And you usually look for them to lead and kind of explain because it is puzzly.
Some of the puzzles. Veneron, you'd never fucking guess how to do some of them, would you?
I'd like to think maybe I could. Really? Yeah. Then how did they figure it out?
I think somebody has to figure these puzzles out. I think Bungie leaked it.
Well, yeah.
It takes them hours and hours and hours.
Yeah, well, so when the new raid comes out next week, there'll be someone on YouTube. They're going to try to crack the raid in, you know, whatever, 18 hours. I think the new raid's coming out on Thursday, I think, next week. So 10 days after game release.
This is the problem with youth today. They want it all handed to them.
They are entitled.
You can't be a solo. You can't be a cowboy in the raid. You got to work together. That's what I love about them. It really is complete teamwork. I loved the raids back on the Destiny 1. And the Destiny 2 raid was good. We were able to do it normal mode within an hour recently. We were just able to go through it. Everybody knew what they had to do, and we did our parts and kind of blast right through it. But I don't know. I love it. It's fun. Leveling my guy up and working the new campaign mode. And I think I saw stuff in the chat that people were playing it. I can't see who because I can't read anymore. But
Well, yeah, Sarah's playing it because it's free on PS Plus.
It is. Mm. You can only get so far with that on the PS Plus because that doesn't include any of the DLCs or anything.
Oh, okay.
You probably just run the first campaign, I think. Yeah.
How long is the campaign? How long is the main sort of first game that you run yourself?
If you go through cutscenes and such, it's probably about 8 to 10 hours, I would guess. Okay. But then, you know, you get a second character and you can rip through it in you know, a few hours probably.
Mm. Okay.
Even less if you have a second carrot.
Or a third.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's a good freebie. It's a good preview. Yeah,
no, it is a great addition for the PlayStation Plus members, for sure.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. It was a good way to get people probably interested if they wanted to maybe go splurge and buy the DLC. So you get that for free, and now you can buy Forsaken.
But here's my thing. If you buy Forsaken, don't you get all of the previous
DLCs?
Yeah.
Probably. I don't know how they're charging it.
That's how it worked before.
You had to buy them also. I don't know. I didn't really look. I can look while we talk, but...
Anyway, all right.
Anyway, it's good fun. If you're on the PC, look me up. We do have a really good group. I actually joined in with a group called Destiny Reset. They actually have a podcast for just Destiny. It's Destiny Reset Podcast. It's a pretty good podcast, but the community is very good. It's not a bunch of jerks that, you know, in the old Destiny, if you didn't have Gjallarhorn, people wouldn't invite you into their teams to come play. These guys are very cool, and it's been good.
See, Gary, wouldn't this be one of those moments where you would think, God, wouldn't it just be cool to do crossplay against like all different platforms and play Destiny 2 with all of my friends?
I would love that.
Yeah.
Mm. I would love it.
Yeah. By the way, Gary, fun fact, there is a developer named Dennis Dyack. He still is the head of Silicon Knights. He predicted probably 3-4 years back, he was talking about a one console future where he basically said that the iterations of consoles were going to continue to kind of build on the same types of technology that we would get to a point where basically all the consoles were the same and that the differentiator was going to be the content on the consoles, but that any game could run on any platform. And it was really going to kind of just be this one console where we all could play together and punch your son. Just
I just told him to be quiet with the mute. You saw that, right?
Yep. That is Dennis Dyack. That is who Dennis Dyack is.
So there you go. I know what the future is. It's Discord.
There you go.
Will that be part of the consoles?
Possibly. because it is taking over.
I love that idea.
It is the future.
It is the future.
Well, all right.
Sadly, Greg, there's some more talk about that this week. Some of the Sony guys are going, well, they were talking about Fortnite, and they're saying, no, we're not going to do that because Fortnite, we think it's the best place to play. It's in the PlayStation, and we already do cross-play with some PC stuff, so.
I didn't pull that for news. There was that additional conversation. I mean, really, in essence, all they were doing was reiterating what they've already been saying, which is they're not going go for cross-play. You know, and hey, you know what? Look, I get it. Sony is in the leadership position on the console side. They've got a huge install player base. They do allow for some cross play with PC once in a while. And that's kind of been the extent of it. And they feel comfortable with their position. That's fine. Do what you want, Sony. I hope the rest of the industry really embraces the idea of crossplay with against different platforms. So I want to see Switch. I want to see Xbox. I want to see PC all playing together. I'd love to see Sony in that as well. I'd love to see them embrace this and just, you know, drop this pretense. We'll get there eventually. I think, honestly, it's going to take a big developer to take a stand. And the developer, I think, that might take the stand because they've kind of been outspoken on this is Bethesda. And I wonder if one of these days Bethesda says, you know what, we're going to release XYZ game first on these platforms because we're going to do crossplay with all of them first. And at some point we'll pick back, you know, we'll develop the PlayStation kind of behind the scenes in the background, and we're hoping that they'll come around, but eventually it'll come, but it's not coming anytime soon. That kind of move is going to force Sony's hand more than right now, which is a lot of people saying we want this, including a lot of developers saying we want this. But until Sony feels it in the pocketbook, they're not going to make a move. They don't need to.
Can't we at least get PC, Xbox crossplay? That would be nice.
Yeah, we're getting there. We are.
I hope so. I know if it's an Xbox release, I can do that, but it has to be an Xbox title.
Right.
I
think Steam crossplay is the next big leap.
All right, I'm in. Please. Yeah. Although, of course, Destiny is not on Steam, but whatever.
Yeah, you know. all right.
Anyway.
Let us move on. Mark, I'm going to go next just to give you an idea of the games I'll be talking about. So in order of on my list, Battlefield 5 Beta. Got in and played some today. I actually played some a few days ago, but it was a real short stint today. I got a little more time with it. Man, this game looks great. Battlefield 5 plays smooth. It looks great. I can't help but feel I've played this kind of game before.
Yeah.
I have the same reaction, quite honestly, about the latest Call of Duty trailer. And we're going to talk about that trailer in the news section. But I know all of the people on Twitter were going like, oh, my God, this looks so great. And I'm like, it looks like Call of Duty. And Battlefield 5 in the beta, the multiplayer, plays like Battlefield. I mean, it feels very familiar. That's not a huge slight, but it is a bit of a slight because I'm not feeling like, oh, my God, this is revolutionary. I've never played a game like this before. But I am really intrigued by what they're going to do for single player, because I really liked Battlefield 1's single player campaign. And I know Battlefield 5 is going to have a single player campaign, and a certain other game, Call of Duty, is not going to have any kind of single player. And so that I refuse to buy that game just on principle, flat out refuse. Because I feel like they are taking things away from that game. So Battlefield 5 beta, I think it is worth checking out. It's an open beta right now, I think, on pretty much every platform, so you can go check it out. Clearly the Denver Broncos, I think, just scored a touchdown based on Gary's little dance.
So Greg, See that's the problem. We say this every year. What is going to change? I mean, if they change the control and how it feels too much or at all, people will moan about it.
Right.
And they're moaning because, what, it's the same? But if they change it too much, we have that Mafia 2, Mafia 3 thing. they get what they want and they don't like it. So, right. Yeah, and the same thing with Modern Warfare 2. It's the same. There's too many of them, which they're lost.
I agree. I think what I want is a break. I want EA to take a break from Battlefield. I want Activision to take a break from Call of Duty. They won't do it. They're going to run these. They will run these franchises into the ground because that is.
But will they? The people that buy Madden, and we're going to talk about Madden in depth, Jason. You're going to love that. And FIFA and Call of Duty or Battlefield will buy those things every single year, just like it used to be a FIFA and a golf game and Madden before. Modern Warfare type things sort of came along, but they're still selling them by the lorry load, and they're just going to keep churning them out because those same people buy them every year. It's the only game they buy. It's the only thing they get. Whereas for us old grey haired farts, we get bored of this. We see it, you know, and they don't. They love it. So
You're probably going to have a certain install base that's going to stick around for it every year. Assassin's Creed is a great example of a franchise that took a year off and really, really did well by it with Origins. And then they turned right around and they came back with Odyssey. And I think, you know, my hype for Odyssey just isn't there, even though I think it's going to be potentially a better game. I know, Mark, you're excited for Odyssey.
Yeah, but I feel the same. And they are taking another year off again, aren't they?
Right.
For the next one.
Yeah, they've announced that they're going to take another year off.
If they'd done that for Odyssey,
yeah,
I think it'd made a huge difference.
I agree. It would have been a much better scenario. So,
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I don't expect Activision EA.
It might be great.
I think it's good. I don't think it's great. Am I excited to buy Battlefield 5? Not right yet. I want to see more from the single player if I'm going to invest in that. I likely am probably not going to invest on it day one. I'm not going to invest on Call of Duty Black Ops because...
EA Access gives me 10 hours of Battlefield. And that'll be enough for me until it ends up in the Access vault. I'm happy enough to do that with these games, which is what I did with Battlefield 1. So I let it sit until it got in there, and when they'll get there. So
I think we need to let his wife know he's cheating on her. He's just kissing his dog. All right, so Battlefield 5 beta. It's definitely there, open beta right now, on through the 11th. So if you haven't played it, you can download it for free. Check it out. Go do it. I encourage you to go do it. Anytime there's a beta like this and it's something that you think you might want to pick up, go check the beta out. It's going to help you with your decision making. PUBG 1.0 came out.
PUBG for life.
PUBG for life. I have been absolutely enjoying the final version of PUBG for Xbox. They added in the Sandhook map, which is a smaller tropical island based kind of like on a Vietnam-type scenario. Mm-hmm. You have a lot of little jungle huts, that kind of thing. It plays faster. There's a lot more loot on the island as well, so you're not scavenging nearly – I shouldn't say you're still scavenging, but you don't have to scavenge as hard. I mean, every location we've gone to, for the most part, we've been able to find an assault rifle really fast, ammo, gear like helmets and vests, scopes. All of that usually is pretty readily available. And then you are just constantly looking over your shoulder because you don't know if you're going to run into somebody at any moment. It's been a lot of fun. We got a nice chicken dinner.
Yep.
The other day, and then Mark, you were playing last night. You got a chicken dinner last night.
Yeah, me, Jay, and James. I've not played this for quite a while until recently, and I was having a bit of a hard time with it. When you've been off a competitive game for a while, it's not that easy just to jump. Well, it isn't for me to just jump straight back in. And I was having some awful games. I was lasting 2 seconds. I wasn't even getting a shot off. I was getting killed without even seeing where the enemy was. Not even shooting a single frigging bullet, and I was getting quite irritated and pissed off, but stuck with it. And this Sandhog map, it's give it a new lease of life for me. It's very exciting. There's not as much of the lulls as in the main game with the bigger maps. You do get caught out by the circle a little bit, but not as much. You can pretty much get to the sort of like within the circle pretty quickly because obviously it's a smaller map. And I started getting a few kills and started getting used to it again. There's some nice new weapons in the 1.0 release. I'm liking the QBZ, which is an assault rifle, and the QBU, which is a DMR. There's also I think this came out in the last update, the SLR. I found one of them for the first time. Right. That was really good. Sniper rifle, so yeah.
Yeah, that's good. In fact, we did have a funny moment. Mark and I were in a vehicle. We were racing away, and we rode through a town. We started getting lit up. I mean, just taking shots from like both sides of the road from different squads. We were playing duos. And we were driving, and I'm like, I'm down to like just a little bit of health. So I'm like, we need to find a hut. We need to find a hut fast. I need to get inside and heal up. The thing about the Sandhook map is almost all of the buildings just have like a lot of open windows and open access. So we find this little hut, and we jump out. We run in, and we run into kind of one of the – like it's a room. I don't think it had a second door. It was just a single door.
You're not muted, and so, Robin.
Yeah, you're not muted, Robin. He didn't want to be muted. anyway, so we run into this little room. I'm sitting there. I'm healing. And as I'm healing, I hear this tink, 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 tink. And I'm like, was that a crit? And as soon as I say that, boom, Mark and I both just obliterated by a perfect grenade toss right through the window. Yeah. So we made somebody's day with that.
Because most of the buildings on this map, like you say, it's based on a Vietnam-type scenario, and a lot of the buildings, like the huts on stilts, this one on the stream now is one of the main camps, bases, so it's got concrete buildings. But out in the sort of like main areas, there's a lot of these buildings where there's big windows, and it's quite easy to throw grenades in.
Right. So the last game I'll talk about, I call it Phantom Deception now. So this is an XCOM-like game. It's basically you are in charge of a spy ring. And you can play as a number of different factions. The starting two factions are the KGB or the CIA. And so, you have your main agent. And then you have basically a roster of other agents. And it's basically a squad tactics game, turn-based squad tactics.
Okay. All right.
And so, the idea is that, you go out and you have objectives to get to, like to steal some plans of a potential nuclear base. Like one of the first missions is you're going to Pakistan. There's a base that supposedly is potentially, running a nuclear testing facility. And so you're supposed to go there and steal some plans and get out. And so you come in and your agents are disguised as workers at the facility. And so you can kind of walk around. But anytime you take any kind of offensive action, you potentially are going to set off alarms. You have to, like, knock people out silently or kill them silently, hide their bodies. So on the surface, and it lays out and plays similar to XCOM, XCOM 2, in that it's got that isometric view. You can rotate the camera. You're basically limited to how many paces or grids you can move with your character. The problem is, it's really twofold. One,
it's a turn-based combat game.
No, that's not the problem. The problem is
it's like
that
XCOM.
It's not really a combat game. That's the problem. It's really more of a stealth game. They don't want you getting into combat.
Isn't it a CIA espionage game, though? So
it is. It is an espionage game, but and this is where I have conflict because all of your characters have weapons. You have a machine gun or a pistol. And you can get them silenced, by upgrading your gear, that kind of thing. But your squad is kind of loaded for bear, right? You're loaded up where you should be able to get in a firefight. But the game doesn't want you to get in a firefight. It wants you to use stealthy tactics to make your way through the map and avoid getting into firefights and make your way to the objectives, complete the objectives, and then come back. And before I talk further on that, I'll just say the other aspect of the game is managing your spy ring. So you have kind of a home screen. It's not nearly as good as the XCOM side view, which was kind of like an ant farm view of your base. Here, it's again the isometric view of your base, and you kind of have to go from section to section to manage it. But you send agents out on different missions. But it's never – I don't know. It might be clear. There might be some indicator that I'm missing. But it never seems like it's clear which missions you send agents out on that you can actually take part in. Or are you just sending agents out? You're sending your fictional characters out onto the map, and they go, and then it's, you know, you're waiting turns for them to do their mission.
Sounds like shit, Greg.
Yeah, it trust me, I'm getting there. it's disappointing, you know, big time. And then you get to the combat side of it. Circling back to the combat, the biggest problem I have with this game is, you know, yes, it doesn't want you to get in combat, and how it reinforces that is when you do get into combat, every enemy soldier you come in contact with, where once the alerts go out, they kind of know where you are, so they come down on you like hellfire. They don't miss. So in XCOM, one of the great things about XCOM is you can line up shots and you see you have X percentage chance to make the shot. And you know, even if it's a 95% chance, you have a 5% chance of missing it. In this game, they don't miss. You never miss a shot. It's your armor. Yeah, it's your armor and your cover that will lessen the damage you take, but you'll never not be hit. Doesn't matter where they are on the map. If they see you, they can hit you. And so that really, I mean, you know, it reinforces that idea that you're not supposed to get in combat, but it just sucks because once you do get in combat, getting out of a firefight is near impossible. So, yeah.
So you won't be playing much more of this then?
No, likely not. Likely not. I had heard decent things about it, and that's the thing what frustrated me, is review scores were coming in around the sevens, and I thought, okay, this is an interesting take on it. And I knew some of the trappings, you know, they said, you know, some of the spy stuff is not, you know, it's a little on the duller side. You know, it's going to take a little bit of kind of getting through it. But the combat really is what kind of ruined the game for me. And I thought that was actually going to be kind of a highlight for the game.
Bit of a fumble.
Yep, very much so. And well played, Robin. Speaking of fumbles, let's go to you.
All right.
Let's get through a couple games real
fast. Yeah, the guns are going to cannoli too. Yeah.
I've been playing this on my Switch. I moved the Switch to the front room to play it on the TV. And the Switch, and it's kind of cool because I was playing it handheld. As you know, I love Guns, Gore, and Cannoli. I think it's great little scrolling shooter. It's the feel of it. The controls are fantastic. The humor in it's great. I've now moved on to the section where the zombies are starting to come. So it's some cool new characters. It is more of the first one again. It's not that different, but it's just a fun little game to play. It is bloody hard. I lowered the difficulty this week because I was just struggling so hard. And Mark played the first one, and you know what some of the boss battles are like.
Yeah.
And I just wasn't. Yeah. I'm not prepared this time to put that amount of effort in to get through it on the normal setting. So moved it down. What a great, great little game. Lots of fun, beautifully drawn, and really good action, great weapons from chainsaws right through to baseball bats with nails in them, and lots of blood and gore. It looks like a cartoony thing, but yeah, just great, good. So Guns, Gore, Cannoli 2, again, it gets the Kim and the Cole stamp of approval. Boing! You know, I threw Modern Warfare 2 up again to get another bit of COD love. And
does it hold up?
Yeah, It does. It does. Yeah, it's a bit jaggy here and there, on graphically. But I remember those levels so well. I can run around those maps with my eyes closed in Modern Warfare 2. I found it difficult enough to get a multiplayer game. That's maybe because I was playing it on a Sunday or a Saturday morning quite early. So I played some of the single player sort of missions that you can play by yourself, not the actual single player game. And some of the sniper stuff was really, really good.
Do you actually play with 360 players as well? Because wasn't this the game where there was such an influx of cheaters with the JTAG Xbox 360s? Is that still a problem?
I don't know. The JTAGs, what?
Yeah, there was massive cheating and wall hacks and everything.
It was a pain. When the real game was there, it was a pain in the ass.
Yeah,
there was
one of the.
Yeah. I used to go around trying to find the cheaters that were always just trying to. Yeah, there was this thing you could throw down like a flare, and if you died, you could appear at the flare again. There's another Northern Ireland word, a flare.
Yeah.
And you would hide, seeing them, these two guys hiding in the corner of a map, and one would shoot his mate, and then he would reappear in the same spot again. He would exactly the same. And they would shoot him again, and then he'd reappear and shoot him again, and they got their kills
to get
up.
The nuke. Yeah.
It made a unique sound, and we just to chase them around. I remember he used to put in complaints in about guys all the time. It just spoiled the games. But it was terrible. But it's good. It's still good. I would love to get a night. I really must try and organize a couple of nights, because I know there's a few people playing it still. I just love it.
I'll download it. I'll give it a go.
And the snipering part of it put me in the mood. I had downloaded, there was a freebie on the Android store, me on Android, wow, of Sniper, the Square Enix game with Agent 47. And I heard people talking about this before. It's not new, but it's a bloody good little sniper game. It really, really is. It transfers to the phone exceptionally well. And I played it for, God, maybe an hour sitting last night when Judith was watching. I don't know. Was it Strictly Come Dancing or Strictly X Wankery friggin' stuff?
And not to confuse this, this is not Hitman Go. This is Sniper.
No, this is Sniper. So you control you've got your scope, and you can zoom in, and you can breathe in, take the breath in to steady your sniper gun, and you have to reload and swipe in the screen and different bits and pieces. Now, it's free.
Okay.
Or very low value, very small. But flicking through, there's a store for upgrading. And of course, they want you to upgrade loads of stuff. And they've got guns in there to help you, you know, high power guns with big scopes and stuff on them. They're 40 quid, 40 pounds. That's what, $50 to buy in this handheld mobile game. You can go in and buy a gun at 40 quid just to.
No.
People must do this.
No, do not do this. Do not support that kind of microtransaction, people. That's ridiculous.
Crazy. Absolutely nutty. Now, that other stuff, you know, the guns at 99p and 9.99 and 20 quid, but it's just crazy. But and apart from that, if you can avoid having to, you don't need to buy anything. You can work your way up and upgrade your different weapons. But it's a great little game, so grab it.
Okay.
There's another
small game on your list.
Yeah, okay. So I can't say that I've played it, but I've seen it a lot. So Sword of Spider-Man. My son Joshua has been talking about wanting to get Spider-Man all year. Now, he is a PC player, PC guy every night, you know.
Right.
Solidly. And he went out and bought the top package. God knows how much it cost. It was probably 70 or 80 quid, probably. I don't know. But the elite package or whatever it is on the Spider-Man. And he's playing it in a very odd way. So the PS4 is in our sunroom, a conservatory place. And he's still playing it on his PC through the network.
Are you streaming it?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's an app on the PC called PS4 Play. It's just like streaming through the Xbox app.
Yeah,
Beta app. Yeah. Same thing.
It looks fab on his big rig, and the network must be fast enough. But I said him tonight, he's playing it right now. And he seems. I said, well, what is it? Is it like? Is it good? He says, yeah, it's brill. So, I'd said to him, yeah, you know, it looks all right, but it would look better if it had some more puddles. I'm really disappointed there's not puddles, more puddles in it. But yeah, look, he seems to be having a ball with it. And I've watched him play for a while, and it does look really, really good. He said, oh, yeah, that's the Spider-Man suit from Marvel Avengers, blah, blah. He knew the suit.
He's very, very into his
Marvel stuff, and he knows all the lore and bits and pieces. So, Mark, you've been playing it. I know you'd said you were frustrated a wee bit with it as well.
I was finding it quite tough, and I've got it on the Mark and Colm Sheridan mode called Easy. I play all my games on Easy. And I was still finding it tough. Yeah. Now, I'm getting used to it a bit now, so it's not as difficult, but there's a lot of different options, a lot of different moves, combos, like your web shoots, your web pulls, you can pull the weapons and everything. So there's a lot to take in and a lot to remember. And with me not playing the PS4 as much as what I used to do, and I'm used to the A, B, X, Y buttons again, it's sometimes confusing when you see a square and a circle and think, fuck, where's that?
Yeah,
where's that?
And
I have to look down at the pad. I look back up and I'm on the floor dead. So, yeah, I'm getting there, though. I'm getting there. I'm liking it now.
Okay.
Because it was the boss fight with... and it's not a spoiler because it's in all the trailers and everything. The opening scene, which is like the tutorial scene, is where you take on Fisk, Wilson Fisk, the Kingpin. Right. And you end up with a boss fight with him, and it gets tougher as it's in like three stages, and he was kicking my ass, and I was really struggling. So, but this was Friday night after I'd driven home and everything, and I was tired, so I revisited Saturday, and I did it first time Saturday. I don't know if it was just down to me not being in the mood for it Friday, but yeah, did it Saturday, and then I've sort of like got to the part now where it's all open world, and there's a lot of crime missions, what just happened sporadically across the world. The New York City map is huge, and it is gorgeous. It is a beautiful game. There's no frame
rate issues. Good things about the game. The visuals as well, with all the... And for the record, Digital Foundry did come forward and say there's not been any quote-unquote downgrade, that there's just been some changes in terms of the artistic direction that they chose, but that from a numbers standpoint, it's not any kind of downgrade. Yeah. So rest easy, console warriors.
they've actually give a purpose to some of the collectibles now. So when you do these like little mini crimes, like a mugging or a shooting, or there's someone in a car chase, and you have to sort of like zip along and then land on the car, and then as they lean out with a gun, you have to go to the left or the right and then pull them out and everything, and or web them up. And that's quite fun. So you get what's called crime tokens for every one of these you complete. Or if it's a tough one, you get two or three tokens. There's your backpacks scattered around all over the place. There's about 88 of them. And they're just webbed up to a wall. Yeah, they're webbed up. But when you collect one of them, you get a token for upgrades.
Okay.
There are towers across the city, which are all out of sync. So you have to go to one of these towers and then de-scramble it, and there's like a little mini game, and it puts it in sync, and you get tokens for that as well. There's construction sites for what Fisk owns. These are like little mini bases, and if you, it's like the lookouts on Far Cry and everything. You know, the outposts. Mm. So it's like an outpost. So if you take one of these down, you get some base points, tokens. So all these tokens then can be used to upgrade your suit, unlock new suits. There's a shit ton of suits. With us doing the pre-order, I pre-ordered this with my nephew, James, because he's got a PS4 now last Christmas. So we went halves on it. So it was more affordable for us. 27 quid each, it's worth it. Because it's 55 quid to buy online. It's not a cheap game.
Okay.
But yeah, with us pre-ordering it, you get a couple extra suits. So I'm rocking the Marvel Iron Man suit from Infinity War, which is a cool suit. And it's got the arms that come out the back and everything, just like in the movie. You start off with a standard suit, yeah?
So some of the old games on the original Xbox and PlayStation and even the three, some of the games on 360, some of the Spider-Man games were pretty good.
The one on the 360 I really enjoyed.
Yeah, so is the gameplay up with some of those, or is it much better? Because I mean, there is a, when you're swinging around, there is a sort of lack of control. You're swinging by luck, sort of thing. Yeah. And is the gameplay really good? Is it?
Yeah. It has improved. Different? Yeah, it's improved from the last Spider-Man game I played, which was the 360 one. I can't remember what it was called. Was it Spider-Man 2? Can't remember.
Yeah, I think it was
2. Yeah, The Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Yeah.
That was supposedly the one that had the best web-swinging mechanics out of all.
And it was good. And this is equally good, if not better. It is automatic, so you just press the right trigger and it'll just web up somewhere to a building and it'll swing, so you'd have to look up and lock on to web swing. It just does it automatically, and then you release the right trigger, it'll let go of the web, and then you press right trigger again, it'll web up again. But if there's no tall buildings near you, you can't do that, so it's not like you're sort of like webbing up to something in fresh air, so it is realistic in that way. There is an option and you can unlock an ability to increase it. Once you've web swung and you let go, you can press a button and he can shoot out two webs to the buildings in front of him and pull himself forward and do it like a zoom move to get a bit more speed, and then you carry on web swinging. So, yeah.
I'm going to throw this out there. I'm curious on your take on this, Mark.
Yeah.
But I've listened to a number... I've listened to a number of podcasts.
Is the game that delayed?
I listened to a number of podcasts talking about the combat. They described the combat. Everything I'm hearing reminds me very much of Batman.
Yep. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I know Insomniac is getting a lot of praise and credit, but a lot of what I've seen kind of feels like they looked at Batman and they said, we just need to do what Batman did.
There's a lot more to it, though. Once you start getting in the game, like we're saying with the suits, once you sort of like do the first sort of like mission, you're actually working for Dr. Octavia in his lab, and you're working on the suit, and he catches you, and you think, oh shit, my cover's blown. But then he says, I know what you're doing. You're working for him, you're helping him making his equipment. And you went, oh yeah, that's it, that's what I'm doing. So it helps you develop the suits. So the one what's on the cover story with a white spider, it helps you develop that suit. So that has its own unique abilities where it increases what you called your focus. So once your focus builds up, you can do, it says on the stream now, focus bar full, you can do finishing moves. I know you could do it in Batman, but the difference with this and Batman
is... This is, again, kind of what I'm getting at.
Yeah,
but they've done it slightly different, but all right.
Right, the difference with this is you've got webs, obviously. So you can shoot your web and stick them up, cover them, and then you can attack them. Then you unlock different gadgets.
Like the zip line thing in Batman.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, you can use your web to pull them towards you. You can unlock a web blaster. You shoot the web blaster and it'll hit them and they'll go flying back to a wall and get splattered against a wall. There's a drone, which makes him look like investigation mode in Batman. it's very much like Batman.
No, that's not
horrible. There's more moves.
Yeah.
Once you've got the moves down, you could probably feel like a real badass when you've got the moves down.
Pat. What's better than Batman is instead of having a big yellow Y above your head to tell you to counter, you've got your Spider-Sense animation.
Thank God for that.
So you haven't got a letter telling you what things were. but yeah.
All right.
You have tanks in it?
Not yet. Thankfully, they learned their lesson from that.
No. I'm not far into it. Yeah, I'm only 1% in the story because I've been doing a lot of these side missions to get the tokens to do some upgrades.
I have heard, like, for each boss, there's like a series of like quote unquote stealth missions where you play as other characters.
All right. Okay.
It's like repeated. Like, so I was listening to Giant Bomb talking about this, and they were saying that there's stealth missions. And it's always when you're playing as somebody else.
Right.
So was it Jane? I think it's his girlfriend. There's other characters that you might play, and they're like stealth missions.
Can I play as Kirsten Dunst?
the only characters...
Can you play with her or play as her?
Well, the only main characters I've met at the moment are the police sergeant, who you help a lot. She calls you a lot with issues. Aunt May, but she's really old in this. She's not like in the latest movie where you want to bone her. Want to bone this one.
If you wanted to bone Aunt May...
I forgot who else. Oh yeah, Dr. Octavia, who you're working with. In Dr. Octavia's lab, there's some upgrade paths, and there's like a little tablet you pick up, and there's a mini game on that. Remember the old water pipes where you have to put the pipes in place to run the water through the circuit? It's like that, but electrical circuits. And some of them you have to. Some of them have a plus figure on them, some of them minus. So it increases and decreases voltage across the circuit. You have to get the right voltage at the end outcome, and they're quite fun.
So in summary, good game.
Yeah.
Potentially great game.
Not far in, but so far loving it, yeah. Initially, a bit overwhelming, and found it quite difficult, even on easy. Especially like one on the stream now. When they've got weapons, it's tough.
Yeah, but I heard you can get shot off screen.
Yeah, but now I've unlocked with doing these crime tokens and everything. I've now got an extra thing on my suit where it's got more ballistic protection, and I've also got now the ability to use my web swing. Was that a touchdown? Did you see that then? You can use my web swing, my web sling now to fire onto their gun and pull the gun away from them, so it disarms them, and then it's like a fair on fire. Now there are some bigger dudes in this called brutes, and they're a bastard. You have to get out of their way because they will knock you flying, and the shielded dudes. So the brutes you have to web up before you can attack them. The shielded dudes you have to either jump over them or slide under them before you can attack them. But you can... Now, this is the main difference with this other Batman. There's a lot of combat in the air, a bit like Devil May Cry. So there's a move where you hold the square button and you'll punch them and knock them in the air.
Like air juggling.
Yeah, I mean, you jump up as well and you beat the shit out of them in the air.
Okay.
And that way you're safer because you cannot be hit while you're fighting that one dude. If you're on the ground and you're fighting, other dudes can come over and attack you as well, which is quite frustrating. So, yeah.
Is it Game of the Year stuff, is it?
So far, God of War is still my Game of the Year. But... like I say, I'm very early into this, and I haven't played Red Dead yet.
You've gotten me excited to renew my PS Plus membership and start playing these games.
You don't need PS Plus.
I dropped it because I don't play consoles anymore, so I just stopped using
my PS Plus. Run out this weekend. I don't have it anymore.
Don't need PS Plus to play this game, Gary.
No.
Oh, all right.
It's not online.
What about Horizon?
No.
Or God of War.
No, it's all single player.
No.
Fantastic.
God of War is just absolutely sublime. It is one of the best... Well, it is the best game on the PlayStation at this present moment in time.
Sounds like I got Last of Us 2 coming eventually. I gotta get my PS4 going.
Yeah.
All right.
So, yeah, loving it so far.
All right, well, let us move on from this. Let us talk about... a quiz. Who said it best, maybe?
So who said it best?
I think we should call it the Jaquiz Rogers because it's football today.
The Jaquiz Rogers sent to me by Nicole. This is Who Said It Best? Basically, Nicole has picked out three different quotes from games, and you have to figure out who said it best.
We're trying to podcast here, and he's bloody taking a selfie.
What the hell? At least I'm watching a football game here.
Anyway, here we go. Who said it best? basically, you know, again, quotes coming from video games or related sources. I will give you multiple choice options, three multiple choice options for each one of these, by the way. And you have to figure out who said it best. Kim currently in first place, by the way.
Oh, man.
Mark, you're in second place with 8 points. It looks like I'm in third place with 5 points. How can that be? Robin is in fourth place. Phil rolling in fifth. And Gary, you need to get yourself on the table.
I'm on the table.
Come on. Here we go. Here we go. So first quote. Here we go. Nice to meet you. Would you prefer to be shot in the face or kicked in your asses? Sorry. I'm going to reread this.
Why are you sorry?
Nice to meet you. Would you prefer to be shot in the face or kicked out on your asses? Was it A, Marcus from State of Decay, B, Nick from Left 4 Dead, or C, Ryder from Dead Island? Who said it best? Nice to meet you. Would you prefer to be shot in the face or kicked out on your asses? Marcus, David Kay, Nick, Left 4 Dead, or Ryder, Dead Island? I need your answers in.
By the way, putting it in the chat?
Yeah, no, you're putting it in the show notes.
Skype chat? Oh, let me go back to show notes. Sorry.
Yeah, where it says Mr. Toothache.
You, by the way, Gary, are listed in the show notes as Mr. Toothache.
Yeah, I know. I saw. You guys are funny. Fucking riots.
I thought it was well played. All right. I need your answers in 3, 2, 1.
Ooh.
Yay! Love it.
Everybody has a different answer. well done, Gary. Gary said A, Marcus from State of Decay. We've got Mr.
Baby Shark.
Robin.
Mr. Do.
Nick from Left 4 Dead. And Mark said Ryder from Dead Island. The correct answer, getting himself on the board, is Gary.
Let's
is
Mark. Go!
Marcus
Samuel
Sanders touchdown. Let's go.
All right. 1 point for Gary. I will mark these. Here we go. Who said it best? When out of ammo... Still got my dukes. When out of ammo, still got my dukes. Who said
Kim,
it best?
Your lead
was it
is
A,
safe. Fucking hell.
Was it A, Joel from The Last of Us? B, Duke Nukem? Or C, Salvador the Gunzerker from Borderlands? Was it A, Joel? B, Duke Nukem? Or C, Salvador the Gunzerker?
Yes, I am good.
Who said it best? When out of ammo, still got my dukes. I need your answers in 3, 2, 1. All right, we have one person saying Joel, and then we have Robin and Mark saying Salvador the Gunzerker. By the way, the one person being Gary.
I think Duke Nukem's a red herring, isn't it?
It is indeed.
Or it could be just.
It is indeed a red herring. There is a correct answer on the board.
Wow.
And that goes to Robin and Mark.
Yeah.
Salvador the Gunzerker.
You give yourself a cheer. You don't give me one, you fuck.
I give you correct
you are
mundo.
Such a cunt.
You got correct. You got this.
Correct the mundo.
All right.
But from now on, you're going to get this.
I was celebrating too much, I think.
Wankor.
All right, everybody so far has gotten a point. Here we go. Last question.
I'm coming after you, Kim. I'm coming after you.
Who said it best? Oh, your ass is grass, and I've got the weed whacker. Is it A, Brick the Berserker from Borderlands, B, Duke Nukem, or C, Salvador the Gunzerker
from Borderlands?
Fucking
evil, Nicole.
Oh, your ass is grass, and I've got the weed whacker. Who said it best? A, Brick the Berserker from Borderlands, B, Duke Nukem, or C, Salvador the Gunzerker from Borderlands as well? I need your answer in 3, 2, 1.
Yeah, baby.
All right. There is a correct answer on the board. And that answer goes to the tit and the toothache.
Oh, no!
Let's go.
Yeah, Duke Nukem, baby.
Yes, it was Duke Nukem.
Had to come in somewhere. Had to.
I put Phil. I put Phil in the rankings.
I thought
and
she
I've
was.
Got the weed whacker.
I thought Nicole was pulling a sly one there and having the same dude with two quotes.
Well played, young man.
Yes, well played. Gary on the board. My mistake. Mark, you'll
you can leave it at two if you want.
Robin, Robin now taking third place with 6 points.
Yeah.
Robin, well done indeed. All right, let's move on to news. I want to speed through this.
Speed, Ryan. Yeah, let's go.
I'm going to nip to the toilet while you start the news because I'm busted.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, my God.
Here is the fucking news.
Well, and this just in. Mark's going to the bathroom.
Yes, Mark did say he was going to the bathroom. He's going to the loo. Robin, so EGX is coming up. There are going to be some sessions and some playable games. I think you wanted to cover some of that.
Yeah, I wanted to sort of cover off all the EGX stuff. It's coming up in 2 weeks' time. I can't wait. It's like I leave my family behind and go turn nerd to 11 and head to Birmingham and just have a ball with the boys. So just looking at the show floor for EGX, just looking at the tickets, early birds are sold out. And super passes are running low. There's some day passes available, so if you want to come, you still can. But on the show floor, just some of the highlights. I mean, Assassin's Creed Odyssey, it's there to play, which will play like Assassin's Creed. But if you want to play it, you can. There are other things that jumped out at me, which was kind of cool, which Metro Exodus is playable on the show floor, which is interesting, and Shadow of the Tomb Raider.
Well, that actually will be out by then, so...
Which one?
Shadow of the Tomb Raider. Yeah. Mm. Real fast. If you're going to one of these shows, can I just please ask of you, don't queue up for games already released. For those of you going to EGX, if you walk by a line for Fortnite and you see a bunch of people lined up to play Fortnite, just punch them. They're idiots.
Worse. Well, okay. Well, yeah. Well, we don't actually play that many games at these. We look at a lot of games, but we don't actually play that many because the crack's so good.
No, but for fuck's sake, it's a free to play game. You don't need to queue up to play Fortnite at EGX or any trade show.
But they do.
Play it at home. I know. They're stupid. They're idiots.
There'll be 100 kids playing the friggin' Minecraft. They'll be a little queue up for Minecraft.
Don't do it, for God's sake. Go play something you cannot experience yet.
All right, so you've got that. Division 2 is playable.
Yes, go play Division 2.
So that's cool. But if you look at some of the stuff in the res section, you've got Human Fall Flat, which has been out for donkeys, Everspace. Right. You know, some of these smaller games which are there and they just keep on appearing and appearing and appearing. But on some of the other stuff there, which is which is the developer sessions, and there's an awful lot more stuff like that this year. Where are those guys?
I think that's the stuff that you want to catch. Those to me, that to me is the cool content. The developer sessions, the inside baseball looks that you get into some of the games and the development that has either happened or is ongoing, that to me is kind of the cool stuff that comes out of some of these shows.
So, I mean, there's guys there from, I mean, if you're into your Japanese stuff, there's guys there from Ryugao Gato Studio behind the Yakuza series. They're there giving a talk. that's on the Friday. There's guys from Bungie there talking about Destiny 2 Forsaken. The guys from IO Interactive are there talking about the future of Hitman 2. That's interesting. That could be an interesting thing. So I mean, there's lots of good stuff there.
Even if I don't necessarily care for Japanese games or Yakuza, I would rather sit on a session of Yakuza then line up for a game I can play on my current console or PC. So again, get out, experience something that you can't experience in your day in and day out life. Don't line up for Fortnite. Don't line up for Minecraft. Not for PUBG.
There's just so much here. Stuff
you can't play.
There's the esports arena again, which is getting bigger and bigger every year. There's the fantastic retro section. There's a different theater on dev sessions there. There's meet and greets with all your YouTube fans. That's for the kids. There's a Capcom Pro Tour EU finals there, which will be for some fighting games, the fighting tournaments. There's just board game sections. There's cosplay. There's crap food. There's tons of stuff there.
Speaking of crap food, let's talk about Las Iguanas.
Okay. So on Friday, the Friday night, which is the 21st of this month, I have booked a restaurant. Yep, thank you. I booked a restaurant, which is Las Iguanas. It's in Temple Street in Birmingham, and we have a table down the back of the restaurant, and I would love to see you there. After a success last year in the burrito bar, and we had a great night, we're going to do the same again this year. And there's a lot of people already have expressed interest that they want to come along. Be there for 8 o'clock to get 30. Contact me at Bongo the Sane, and I'll give you the details. I actually have the menu, and you can tell me. In fact, I can give you the link, and you can order anything from our ethnic food here. There's lots and lots of it there. And if you have a Nintendo Switch, bring it along with you. Things to have on it: Mario Kart, if you can get a copy, and definitely Rocket League. And we'll be playing that in the restaurant. So we'll be having some beers and margaritas and some good ethnic food and a lot of fun. So if you want to come, that's on Friday, the 21st of September, 8 o'clock for 8:30. Now, on Saturday night, support the Midlife Gamers. It's Darren's birthday tomorrow, so midlifegamer.net for their Midlife Gamer after party, which is on the Saturday night in the Irish Club every year, and they're back to the same Irish Club again. All of the money goes to a fantastic children's charity, and that's one of the highlights of the year every year. From the karaoke to male bonding to male dancing, it's a big willy fest, but it's lots and lots of fun. And people from podcasts all over and their community and our communities all come together and have a great old night at EGX on the Saturday night. So, yeah, so burritos, beers, and buddies on the Friday night, MGLX on the Saturday evening, and then the show. I'm there Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Mark's there on Friday. Friday, Mark,
yes,
isn't that right?
Yeah, Friday. Yeah, me and JFF Friday. Yeah,
on Friday. So, come along and, please contact me.
All right.
That's it.
Good time. It's a good time, folks. You do not want to miss that if you can attend.
No.
All right, some news. Speaking of Switches, Robin, a game you will not be able to play at your EGX meetup, but you will be able to play soon enough. Civilization VI is arriving on the Nintendo Switch November 16th. Looks like this got leaked out accidentally, but the Switch version of Civilization VI will include the latest updates, including the Vikings scenario and the Poland, Australia, and Persia, as well as Macedonian civilizations and scenario packs.
How are we fitting that game onto a Switch, man?
That's awesome. That's a really good question.
That's cool. I wonder how the menu. I mean, how small the text is going to be on the little screen.
It is curious. I do wonder. I mean, obviously, this is going to be some kind of like mobile version of Civilization VI. I don't know if there's a mobile version of it out now, but that if there is. Maybe that would, look it up on the iOS store. That might be kind of telltale of what you're going to get on the Switch. I can't imagine this is going to be like the PC version. Is a beast of a game on PC. So
I'm streaming the proper Nintendo Switch trailer for Civ 6, and it looks pretty good. It looks pretty spot on, yeah.
I tell you what, that Wii Switch is getting a lot of support at the moment. If you look at the games on it, it's a good little piece of kit. And I have it with the gay pink and green controller. And when you throw it out of its dock and play like on the big screen, that my guns go on cannoli looks fantastic. And it's amazing what they get out of that wee flat piece of plastic. It's class. Good piece of kit.
There you go.
Oh, for fuck! Sorry, Jesus fucking Christ!
On,
Speaking of additional news, Alexa and Cortana devices are now in the Inside Xbox program. So basically, if you have an Xbox One and you're on the Insiders program, you now can control your Xbox using Alexa.
Do you play a game? You go, Alexa, jump. Alexa, punch him. Alexa, dodge.
Greg, hey, you said shit. I was crazy last
Alexa,
week.
Stop.
Shit. Look at this Alexa I got.
Oh, yeah, see that? Yeah, that's cool.
Oh, look at that.
They were a lot of money when they came out, the Alexa Destiny Ghosts, right. And I saw it on Amazon the other day for like $9. I was like, yeah, I'll pick one up now.
There you go. Yeah, so it's mostly about controlling, you know, basic commands, UI commands for the dashboard and turning your console on and off, running your games. So you're not going to actually be able to input commands on control, so you wouldn't be able to play a game using Alexa, but you could start up your Xbox, fire up a game really quickly using Alexa. Let me just say that was the same. It's the same kind of process we had with Kinect, with the original Kinect and the voice commands. It's a cool concept and idea. I don't know that it's really any kind of difference maker. If you live in a noisy household, this likely is not going to be a terribly useful device.
Who lives in a noisy household?
Me. Using voice controls was near impossible half the time. Either way, if you have Alexa now, congratulations, you'll be able to control your Xbox should you choose.
Gary, that Alexa Ghost, does it work as a dot?
I don't know. I just plugged it in just now. It's been sitting here in my computer area, and I never plugged it in. I just plugged it in right now. Look, it lights up.
So it says, do not buy this device. It doesn't – what? It's just a speaker? It has to be in the same room as an Echo?
Basically, Gary paid $9.
I have no idea what it is.
A light up dot. Mm. All right. Blackout. Blackout was finally shown off. Call of Duty had their big trailer. The Blackout trailer was released this past week. We got a sense finally of what Blackout is. This, of course, is their Battle Royale mode. It's a big map of a bunch of different kind of familiar maps from previous Call of Duty Black Ops games that are basically kind of being stitched together into this one very large map. Player count right now, I believe, is at 80, but they said they're testing it out at 80 for the meantime, but they may expand it beyond that.
The Battlefield 5 one is 64 player for their Battle Royale.
Okay, that is also good to know.
Yeah.
Call of Duty, their Battle Royale mode is going to include vehicles. So it'll have helicopters, it'll have, I don't think jet fighters, it'll have helicopters though, it'll have bikes and cars and boats. It looked like Call of Duty to me, so it was a hard time kind of differentiating it from a Battle Royale mode. But supposedly they're going to be using whatever kind of blue zone that they use, for lack of a better way to put it, shrinking down. It also has zombies, I guess, in some locations. Huh. So they may be using zombies to help kind of push you into the inner circle. So if you go outside of the circle, maybe you're susceptible to being attacked by zombies. I don't know. That wasn't very clear, but it was a high action, you know, high caffeinated kind of a trailer that got your blood pumping and you're like, yeah, Call of Duty. And then I said, that's Call of Duty. Yep.
Yeah, Call of Duty. Here, stuff that I'd like to talk about, actually, after listening to the IGN podcast this week when they had the chap on from Playground Games talking about Forza. And when I was thinking about it, I've got, I have to pre-order that and get it ordered and get it out. And then just it hit me that game, which is going to be brill and fantastic, is straight into Xbox Game Pass. And that's the first one really that is hit home at what good value that is. So, you know,
well, I mean, let's face it. It's been the first, I think, AAA title that has, I think, high expectations behind it, and high expectations with pedigree. You know, Rare wasn't, you know, Rare hasn't had a big hit in a long time. They came out with Sea of Thieves. There were certainly some high expectations around Sea of Thieves, but expectations, I think, were a little bit tempered, especially leading up to the launch of Sea of Thieves. Whereas for Forza 4, everybody and their mother has been saying how great it looks and that it's played, what they've played so far has been fantastic.
Oh, yeah, it is. It is. It's going to be.
I think also the fact that it's in the UK has a certain island that I know of, maybe two islands even, extremely excited about playing this game because it's your home.
It's good. The final thing I'd like to say about it would be, Alexa, what's the news?
Funny, because I was about to do that too. I was about to say,
no, Alexa, we don't want to do that because we don't want to hear something I don't want to hear.
For Nicole.
Alexa, sing me a song.
Alexa, turn off my lights. Alexa, turn off my TV. Everybody, you're welcome.
I was so going to do that, Robin. I was waiting for you guys to finish.
Anyway, there you are.
So, that because Nicole said in the chat that we keep setting off her Alexa. What is the time?
Yeah.
So, while we're on about these Battle Royale games and new games, have you guys seen the, I think it's in preview or alpha, have you seen the new one which is underwater called Last Tide?
No.
Ooh.
No.
Now, this has got my son really excited. I think he's going to pick this up.
Like Frogman?
Yeah, Shroud has been playing the stream a lot of it. It's basically PUBG underwater. You're frogmen, you've got scuba gear, you've got flippers, you can pick up better flippers so you can swim faster. There's a variety of weapons, there's a grapple hook, and it looks quite cool. The shrinking circle is sharks.
Okay.
One of the weapons is you shoot an charge, and it explodes, and if you go through the ink, it attracts sharks and they come after you. There's a bit of it where he's actually in the shark's mouth and he's stabbing it like this, so yeah, it looks really cool. So yeah, Last Tide, I think it
is
might
it
be
the right, is it the right, do you have different angles?
No, more up and down, Robin.
Okay. Alexa, set alarm for 4 a.m. Okay.
All right.
Looks cool.
Before it's on, here we go. We're going to talk about some new releases.
Dun, 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 boom.
I don't know. I don't even think we have a jingle for new releases. Alexa, what time is it?
Okay, right. New releases. Okay, yeah, so between September the 8th and 14th, you've got Dust and Elysian Tail for the Switch. You've got Frozen Synapse for the P2 for the PC on the 13th of September. You've got a Labo update for Nintendo Labo, the Vehicle Kit, more cardboard crap on September the 14th. NHL 19 on September the 14th, and Shadow of the Tomb Raider on September the 14th. That's a biggie.
Yep.
And you got Black Clover Quartet Nights on the PS4 and PC on September the 14th. Also, those are the main ones. But it just never ceases to amaze me when I go onto the store how many games release every week that we don't hear about that are there. Now, they're generally smaller things, but both PlayStation and Xbox now are being well catered for all these smaller indie titles. So there's tons and tons and tons of them. So, Shadow of the Tomb Raider.
That is definitely on a list. A purchase list, that is.
Yep.
All right. Hey, Robin, I don't know if you've ever heard of this thing. It's called Victory's Achieved. I'm going to tell you a little bit about it.
Oh, good.
It's a contest. It's a contest where if you complete a game, Robin, I know you're not going to believe this, but you actually could win money for completing games.
I can win money for doing just playing games?
Technically, not you. Robin Tate can't win money, but if your name was Robin Tit, you might be able to win money.
It's doing it again. Oh, what's that? Oh.
Anyway, look, if you're listening to this, we do a quarterly draw where we ask listeners to complete games. Get onto Twitter, take a selfie with the game in the background. We'd love to see your smiling face as well. Send it to @OC_podcast. And you want to hashtag victory achieved into that. and just send it off, and you could potentially win $20. $20 on either PSN, Xbox Live, Steam, or apparently Nintendo. If you're in the UK, we're just going to subtract 5 off that number and give you £15. You're welcome. Here are the people that have completed a few games this past week. We've got Caliburn M, who finished Destiny 2. We have RCGC, who stumbled and finally got her way through Mafia 3.
Gusera.
Gunslinger X 1983 also finished Mafia 3. And Caliburn M came back around to finish Tacoma. And finally, Denok TQ finished Yakuza Kiwami 2. And if you beat these games, not only are you entered into our contest to potentially win $20 or 15 pounds in play money, but you also get this lovely sound. You all have a victory's achieved. Victory's achieved. You have one. Victory's achieved. Cool. All right. So this pretty much is kind of the closing part of the show. We've gone well past our normal hour and a half mark. I think we just had a lot to say today. But if you enjoyed this and you think, gosh, I wish I could see them again, well, it's easy enough. You can tune in next week, 9 p.m. in the UK, 1 p.m. on the West Coast, 4 p.m. on the East Coast, 6 p.m. on Easter Island. And just go to twitch.tv/OC podcast or mixer.com/OC podcast. Or even youtube.com/OverseasConnectionPodcast. And we will be there broadcasting every week with the exception of like Christmas, maybe New Year's, and possibly Arbor Day. We are on iTunes, Stitcher, all of those places, YouTubes. Give us reviews. Reviews help us be seen by other people. We don't ask a lot from our listeners. This is one thing we do ask. Give us a review. Hopefully a kind review, but a review nonetheless. If you like clubs, we are all about the clubbing. We love to go out and club. We like to club on Xbox at OC Podcast Club. We cruise over to the PS4 once in a while on OC Podcast Community. There's also a cool discotheque on Steam called the OC Podcast Group. And then this new shindig place, it's kind of a jazzy type club called Discord. We have an OC Podcast server there. We've heard nothing but good things from that place. It's the future. Yeah. Yep. Yep. Discord.com, OCPod.com. That's where it is. And now you get to listen to this.
You like us. We like you. See where I'm going with this? Follow us on Twitter at @OC_podcast. Check us out on Facebook, FB.OCPod.com, or email us. podcast@ocpod.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Oh, hey, ginger balls.
all right. Let's do some quick shout outs and get off this podcast. Gary, you are first up. Give us a shout out.
The dog's between my legs. All right. I am going to shout out Von Miller, big sack a second ago. Emmanuel Sanders having a huge game. And I'm going to shout out Alexa, sing me a song. Peace out.
Robin?
Yeah, I'm going to shout out the Cardinals for not doing anything whatsoever and tonight and going down like a sack of dead potatoes. Yes, okay, of course, you can get me at Bongo the Sane. Make sure you do that because you're coming on Friday the 21st if you're in the Birmingham area to get really drunk and have Mexican food and play Switch games. Even if you don't have a Switch, we can share a Switch because drunk. And yeah, so we're going to Las Iguanas in Birmingham. Contact me at Bongo the Sane. I'll get you on the list and you'll come along. I'll send you the menus and away we go. And thanks, everybody, for listening, because as Kim would say, indeed. Mark.
Yeah, indeed, indeed. You can get me at MarkAlex on Twitter. You can also find me on Xbox, PlayStation, and Steam as mechanics. Nice and easy. I just want to shout out you guys. It's been a lot of fun again. Apart from the football talk, that was quite boring. That's why we've overrun.
Mark, can you give a shout out to listeners, by the way? Maybe read off some names.
Oh God! Oh,
yeah,
no!
Yeah. Right. I'll get it up.
Well, I can see.
I want to hear that, Robin.
Yeah. Oh, was that amazing little blue pill? That helps him a lot, apparently.
All right.
Everyone in the chat, everyone who listens, really. A bit generic and basic, but yeah. Go on then, Robin, shout them all out.
And a lot of viewers in there tonight and people that are watching and listening. We've got Apricot Droop Fruit. We've got Commander Root, Fairy Whim, Jordam.
Fairy Whim. That is awesome.
Fairy Whim, RCGC Sarah. We've got Soul Cool, Star for Help, Jason, The Real Defoe. V and K and Virgo Pros. Lots of different names in there tonight. Yeah. So welcome to the chat.
You missed one out. There's one on screen right now in front of me which says Jordan, and he's been chatting away. So
Yeah, I did that.
Jordan.
Yeah.
Jordan.
Jordan.
He's got two
mentions. Yeah. So thanks for joining in there. It adds an extra bit of spice to this podcast where we can react to some of the stuff we're doing there and set your Alexis off live.
Yes, we do love our shatters. So thank you to everybody for giving us a listen and taking part. It is all about the community after all. Shout out to the three of you. It's been a fun podcast. Thanks for making it a fun day.
Hey.
Shout out to Mike and Tara. If you happen to be listening to this right now, we love you. Thank you, guys. And I will end the podcast on this note. Alexa, play Barry White. Mark,
business time.
Thank you for listening to the Overseas Connection podcast. See you same time next week.